Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Nate Darling Show.
Yay!
Hola!
Larry's back from his adventures.
Yay!
Good to have you back, my
Thanks.
Man.
Thanks. It's fun to be back.
Larry makes me happy.
Larry makes everybody happy.
Yeah. He always gives me a happy ending.
I try to please.
All right. So let's start the show off with a little bit of show business, so to speak.
Show business?
Show business. We have a new website.
It's very exciting.
Ooh, I think I read about this on TMZ.
It is natedarlingshow.com. You'll recognize the URL, but it is a brand new website. And this was kind of an undertaking. This was my big project last weekend. I spent several hours on the new website.
Wow.
It contains every single podcast we have ever recorded. So for all the people who wanted to... So for all the people who are interested in going back and listening to podcasting...
And how many is that, Nate?
Let me look
It's here. Like a million.
No, it's actually 37 if you
That's
count...
That's almost a million.
Yeah.
If you count the Oscar special, it's 37. I don't. So this is our 37th show right now.
It's well on its way to a million.
We'll get there. Eventually.
Can we make a best of CD?
Nate, you have to do all the editing.
Can we repackage it with dance mixes?
Call it
Club Edition.
I'll leave the Club Edition to you. So what that means is we are transitioning away from the site on Podbean, although we're going to stay up there for a couple more weeks until everything gets squared away. But please go to our website, natedarlingshow.com. Take a look around. There's great links. If you go to the top, there's three. Under the big logo, there's a button called Shop Amazon Through Us. And this is really exciting for us because we are now an Amazon affiliate. And what that means is if you go to our site and click that button, it brings you right to Amazon.com. And if you buy something on Amazon, they give us a tiny percentage of what you buy.
Oh, I've heard of this. I've heard of people doing that. That's awesome.
Can you buy adult products on Amazon?
You can.
I'm just curious. Wow, I got two quick confirmations.
You can, in fact, buy. They've got that on Amazon. They have a lot of stuff there. And we get a different percentage based on what different things are. And I, as my reward for building the website, I bought a PlayStation 3.
Nice.
And a video game.
Nice.
Through Amazon.com. And so just as a test to make sure it went through, and it went through, and the next day, on Sunday, one of our lovely listeners, I have no idea who, so we never find out who is buying. We just see what is bought.
Oh, it would be funny if you found out like who bought 3 tubs of Vaseline and a bottle of lube.
Well, don't try and discourage people.
Buy Vaseline and lube, although Vaseline is not safe for condoms
because
it's oil-based, just to remember.
So
it's important to do health tips.
So we get a little bit bigger percentage if you buy music. So buying your music, if you're buying music on iTunes, don't do that anymore. Go to Amazon through our site. The songs are 99 cents as opposed to like $1.29 and whatever.
And they have albums for sale all the time.
Exactly. Someone bought an album on sale for $5 on Sunday, and we got a little percentage of that.
Nice. Yay.
So that's a great way for you, the listener, to help us and tell your friends, too, because it doesn't cost you any more to do that. It's the same price on Amazon.
It just supports and helps us.
Absolutely. And that's a win-win for everybody. So that's portion number one of the top. Then there's something that's a part of the site that just says Nate Darling Show Podcast. And if you hover over that, there is a button called subscribe, which is how you get our RSS feed, because we're right now, as I speak, we are not on iTunes.
Oh, no.
However, if you're a current subscriber, you hit refresh, we'll show up.
Yes.
But you will need to subscribe to our new feed when we get that through, but that's one way to do it. Then there's a link to our show store at Zazzle. There's a link to my Twitter page, our YouTube page, how you can like us on Facebook. And then if you go down to See Us Perform Improv, there's links to the In Your Facebook Improv show, which I am in, and the Lady Business Improv show, which Mel is in.
Awesome.
So if
you there like photos and videos of Larry dancing naked and stuff?
I hope there better be.
No.
Oh, there should be.
From this weekend, there might be.
As the person who has to put all of these things on the web, I don't really want to see pictures of Larry dancing naked.
Well, that's just
Nate,
one
I told
person.
You I would show you them again. Don't be embarrassed.
And if you go over to support our sponsors, you can see the link to Huge Entertainment.
Yay.
H-U-G.
It's spelled out for you right there. So look around. We'll be adding stuff periodically, too. The other cool thing is the search button up at the top. You click in there, and let's say you want to go back and relive our interview with the Grand Poobah of PR from Ben and Jerry's, Sean Greenwood. You just type in Ben or Ben and Jerry's, and boom, it'll show up.
Awesome.
Or you can search by episode number.
Did Ben and Jerry's make Whitney ice cream, or did I make that up?
You made that up.
So could you search like dildo and see how many times we've said dildo in a podcast?
No, it has to be either in the show title or the show description.
I'd say that's scary if
that
it
would
does.
Be hilarious.
Like, you say my name every time you say hilarious.
let's look. Nothing found. There is no dildo in a show description. Sorry.
No dildos.
Not in the show description. Okay, so that's the website. Go check it out, please. And
we should make a drinking game based on our show, where every time we say a certain word, the audience drinks.
Have you seen the House Hunters one?
Mm-mm.
There's a House Hunters bingo drinking game, and HGTV has cut out. You can print it out from their website. Every time people say something like, "This would be great for entertaining," "Ooh, granite countertops," "Ooh, look at this clock," all the cliche things people say when they look at homes, you have to drink. It's quite fun.
That's awesome.
That's a great idea, except Eric from Portland would be smashed at his desk by 11 a.m.
Hell yeah, Eric from Portland.
Every Wednesday morning, that poor guy would be passed out on his keyboard. It'd be terrible.
I know what to do with a passed out Eric.
Hey now.
Safely take him home.
Aw.
Very nice. So that's our new website. Please check it out, natedarlingshow.com, and do your Amazon shopping through us, because we will appreciate it. And it will help us do things like pay for the website. It'll help us buy new equipment. It will help us sort of deal with all the expenses that we have here.
Buy stocks.
Yeah.
Maximize our Roth IRAs.
Stocks? You mean like the bondage device stocks?
Oh, my.
Just asking.
Nate.
Well, I wanted to clarify for the audience.
Wow.
So, Larry, you're back from a very big week. You were at the Daytona 500.
I was in Florida. It was fun.
And the Daytona 500 had a rain issue?
It did. It rained. What's weird is, so this is how I describe it to people. I saw everything at Daytona 500 except for the race. So my dad and I went, and we had passes, so we could go places. And so we got to go like walk through the garage, and we got to see like the fun place in the middle where they have like big parties and stuff. And people had told me there's serious money there, but Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, there is serious money at NASCAR. Like, kind of blown away. It's such an interesting mix of people. But it was great. We got to see Lenny Kravitz. We were, like, right up front. Mitt Romney was there. Jane Lynch was there. It was just a very odd collaboration of people. The drivers got to do, like, the entrance thing, but literally as they started getting in their cars, it started raining. There was a very long rain delay. They thought it was going to happen later, but then more rain. And so my dad and I had to make the decision. The race got postponed for the first time in history, and it was going to be the next day at noon. But we looked at the weather on my phone, and it was going to be pouring until about 5 or 6 that day. And so we made the decision. My parents just got a place in Fort Lauderdale, and so we stayed the night up there, but then we decided to drive back. I'm glad we did, because the race then got moved back to 7, and my flight was leaving Fort Lauderdale at 7 early in the morning. So we would have driven. The race would have ended at midnight. It would have taken probably 2 or 3 hours to get out of there and then 3 hours to get back. I wouldn't have made my flight. So I made the right decision. And here's a fun educational fact for you. Whenever you go to a very high-priced event, highly recommend ticket insurance, because it's although I laughed at whenever I get it for high-priced ticket things, it's like, thank you for thank you for protecting your ticket investment. I don't consider tickets an investment, but so I already called, made a claim and stuff. So because the race didn't get started, I had to come back. I'll get it. So it was a lot of fun. Such great people watching, serious money and then some serious not money. But some key observations. One, anyone that thinks NASCAR people are like inbred white rednecks are wrong. I saw there were a lot of black people and a hell of a lot of Latinos. And a lot of gay dudes. It was surprisingly diverse.
Wow.
Yeah. And serious, the infield people, these parties with like these RVs and they build decks on top of them. I think to get an RV inside, just inside, that doesn't include tickets, just the right to park an RV in the infield, which is massive because the track's like 2.5 miles. It's so weird because like, I did drum corps and stuff. So I'm used to being in stadiums like with big seats and like feel what that's like. But it's weird because you look it up and the seats just go forever. They don't end. And then like we were able to cross the checkered line. We were able to sign it because we had tickets. So it's kind of neat. But when you stand there and you look, it looks cool. Then you look over to the backfield and you're like, holy crap. That's I mean, because it's about 2 miles away and there's just more seats. It was seeing it in person was just very big. I have to say, I kind of like NASCAR. I'd go back. It was really cool.
Excellent.
It was fun.
You tell such good stories.
It was good.
I can't. I smiled the entire time you were talking.
It was good.
And I do understand that. Like, if I was a gay man, that's where I would go because it seems like it's a giant Wang market.
Oh my God! It was sausage heaven. I'm sure eventually gay dudes are going to discover this, especially if you're like me and like your dude's a little thicker. And I hate this word, but more masculine, like, geez, everywhere. And there were people drink a lot at NASCAR, and especially when there's just a rain delay, people were drinking a lot at NASCAR.
Did it get kind of cleared out because people didn't want to sit out in the rain?
Yeah. Or? So we were lucky. We were able to park really close. So getting out wasn't that bad at all. But had it been completely full, people say it can take hours. If you've ever been to Daytona, it's a very interesting city. The Daytona 500 is right next to the airport, and parking around is kind of weird. And I mean, there's I think it's 185,000, 200,000 people, and that's just people who have tickets. The amount of people who come and party around outside is even higher.
Wow.
So it really is like a Super Bowl event.
It's a giant
it's a Super Bowl of NASCAR, as everyone kept saying.
It's a giant clusterfuck of humanity.
No. I did feel bad. I had two funny things. How many people were floored that I was at NASCAR on Facebook? Like, what the hell are you doing there? And then people who I didn't know were fans. I felt a little bad because, like, I got to see the cars. We got to see them get inspected. Like, it was really cool.
I'm just excited you saw Jane Lynch because I like her a lot.
She was fun. John Cena was there.
Yeah, he was.
Hey, John Cena. It was fun. It was a good time.
All right. And I went to Alcatraz. It's not as big a deal, but I did go to Alcatraz on my birthday.
I think it's pretty cool.
Alcatraz is so pretty.
It is. Alcatraz, it was a gorgeous day the day we went because the water was pretty steady, so the boat ride out wasn't bad, which is good because I will get motion sick.
Me too.
And on the way out, this was the only thing that made the day bad because it was a good day in San Francisco. The Bay Bridge was closed that weekend. Took Bart in, so there weren't a ton of people around. And got on the boat and sit down. And across from me sits, and the boat's basically full. Across from me is this pregnant lady, her man, and their friend. And this guy who impregnated this woman who was wearing a Pregasaurus t-shirt.
I like those t-shirts.
Of course you do. He pushed every button of irritation that I have. Have you ever been in a situation where there's someone like that, that it's like they know everything that will irritate the fuck out of you, and there's like a Christmas tree checklist of them. So he starts out, and he's sitting across from me, and he looks like a douche. He's got the douche sunglasses. He's got the douche jeans. He's got the douche shirt and the douche did I say sunglasses? Anyway.
Wait, was he wearing Ed Hardy?
No. No one has Ed Hardy anymore.
Then you're an outdated douche.
Oh, yeah.
Although some people still do. Some guys do. And then you know they're like wanting to be a douche, which is maybe even worse than being a douche.
Either that or they're too poor to afford a new douchey shirt. Huh. So the first thing this guy does is he had gotten himself a wiener down at the...
he said wiener.
He did. He got a hot dog and every condiment known to man in packet form at the snack bar downstairs on the boat. And he then proceeds to take his hot dog and one by one he opens up the packet and puts the condiment on it and then hands the empty wrapper to his pregnant significant other.
As he should, and a woman should serve her man.
So he's doing this. And this is like a ritual for this guy, and he keeps doing it, so she's got like seriously 8 empty condiment packets in her hands, and I don't know what she did with them, and I was just really happy because then he ate the hot dog, and this was the only time this guy stopped talking the entire boat ride from Pier 33 to the island, and so. We're getting ready to go, and as I mentioned, I can get a little bit motion sick. So I'm looking out over the side.
I didn't know you got motion sick.
Occasionally. And normally I'm bright enough to actually take something for it, but this time, no. And the friend moved over, and he's by the rail, so he's blocking part of my view. And I'm like, eh, no big deal. But then this other guy starts talking, and he decides he's going to talk to his friend. But
the one that's standing over by the rail?
The one that's standing over by the rail. So now he has to talk louder. And that lasts a very short period of time. He realizes it's important that his buddy understands everything that he says. He gets over, and then he stands next to him. So now he is as close to me as you are, Mel.
Oh, except he's that's close. I
except
get you.
Except he's completely blocked. Now they're completely blocking my view of the horizon, which wouldn't be bad. Except he is now in conversation with his buddy, but he's still talking loud enough so that his significant pregnant other can hear everything they're saying.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what's wrong with this picture so far? I'm not following.
Oh, Larry.
Oh, Larry. This is one of those guys who every sentence that comes out of his mouth at the end, there's a brief, brief, brief pause. And then he laughs at it himself as though it's the funniest thing ever.
I don't understand what you're saying. That's so crazy.
All the way to the fucking island. I was like, and I'm there with my friend Selena, and I'm like, I keep wishing for him to burst into flames so I can push him overboard.
I'm sorry. Did you say Selena Gomez?
No.
Oh.
No, I said my friend Selena.
Oh.
I'm not friends with Selena Gomez.
That would be impressive.
It would be.
It would be a little weird, though. How old is Selena Gomez?
She's 18.
Oh, is she now?
Just like Justin Bieber.
Still a little weird, though.
I really wanted to write on my gay friend's wall on Facebook to say, like, it's your lucky day. Justin Bieber's now 18. But I thought it'd be really funny, but it's really creepy. But
it's a little creepy.
You have a gay friend? What?
It's crazy. I do.
and so... Anyway, get out there. The boat's pulling into dock. I'm like, let's go. I need to be far away from this guy. And that was the last time I saw him. So get off the boat. Beautiful day. Go up and do the self-guided audio headphones tour. They ask you what language you speak, which is oh so nice of them. It's also San Francisco. And you just get this little thing with a lanyard that you hang around your neck, and it's an audio tour that is really cool because it's narrated by a former prison guard.
Huh.
And they've got audio from some former prisoners as well, and they'll talk about the things that happened, and so they'll tell you to go to this place. And by the way, the former prison guard, really bossy, but they'll
no, he was turn around in the main corridor and look to your left.
So yeah, do it now.
Years of practice.
And so then you would get to the thing, and then they would transition to the inmates talking about something, and then they would mix in some sound effects so that you could hear, you get the feeling of what it would be like to be there. And at one point, one of the prisoners name drops Al Capone, but then he name drops Al Capone, but then he sort of twists it a little bit by saying, yeah, he was just really violent all the time he was here because he was afflicted with syphilis.
They do throw out the syphilis fun fact.
Yeah, they do. That was just the oddest random fun fact was the syphilis.
Because San Francisco is one of the highest syphilis rates in the country.
What?
In case you didn't know.
I did not.
The public health department has this wiener. They have different colored wieners. Like, only in San Francisco. They have, imagine like costume characters, but they're penises.
Oh, I thought you were talking like an alert system. Like no. We're on red wiener alert or orange wiener
red
alert.
Red wiener alert. Syphilis in high effect.
Yeah.
No, and they call Protect Your Willy. And they're literally, they're like costume characters, wieners. And they're like, Protect Your Willy. Don't get syphilis.
That's important. So anyway, it is the most gorgeous view of the city of San Francisco on a clear day. And we could see all the way around, too. It was Golden Gate, the city, the Bay Bridge, the East Bay. I mean, if you really want to look that way.
If you go visit, I think the prettiest view, because you also get to see Alcatraz is from Treasure Island.
Yeah, it's pretty from there.
Well, the Bay Bridge was closed, so that wasn't really.
Oh, that's right. I wonder how many people were. For those of you that aren't familiar, the East Bridge, the Bay Bridge connects the rest of California with the peninsula of San Francisco, and they are spending $97 billion building a bridge right next to it. I literally think it's $98 billion. And they keep closing it for things, and it makes it very hard to get into San Francisco.
Well, to be fair.
How did you get into San Francisco?
BART. Bay Area Rapid Transit.
Oh.
Yeah, they just ran a lot more BART trains.
I always take BART. I hate driving into the city. It's a hassle.
Yeah. I only do when I had...
And parking's so expensive.
Yeah, it does feel expensive. So.
Oh, and if you take Amtrak and buy your BART tickets, they're so much cheaper. Did you know that you get a discount on BART tickets on Amtrak?
Right, but the Amtrak ticket is quite expensive to go to the city.
It's a little pricey.
Although if gas keeps going much higher, it'll be a deal and a half. So that was Alcatraz. I mean, it was a good time. It was very interesting. Although they had one sign, because there's the TV series Alcatraz. There's one sign that they hung, a paper sign underneath that said, the TV show Alcatraz is fictional. These areas are closed to for your safety or to protect wildlife.
False.
Yeah, that's it. It's because of the series.
So what else did you do in the city? Anything? Did you have like a good meal or?
Yeah, we went to Gordon Biersch for dinner afterward. Lunner, I guess.
Lunner always sounds so dirty to me.
It does. It was 2 hours at Gordon Biersch, and our waiter, who was a pretty decent waiter, I made the joke of, well, it's not Applebee's, and he then drops the knowledge on me, hey, I worked as a cook at Applebee's.
Aww.
Yeah. So had to tip him then. He worked as a cook at Applebee's. So that was Alcatraz. It was fun. I recommend it.
I did not know until I went to Alcatraz the first time that this just to me encapsulates how weird the 70s were in our country's history, that Native Americans overtook Alcatraz and lived there and no one was going to kick them off that until they finally did. But that I had no idea that part of our history existed.
Yeah, that's the part they want to keep.
They were the original Occupy people.
Yeah, they were occupying. Because when you pull up, there's a big sign that says it's spray painted Indians welcome. And I'm like, what? Well, that's odd.
Yeah.
Like, Lord. Cleveland Indians? What is that? I have no idea. So, Mel, you went away this weekend, out of Sacramento.
I had a super busy, fun weekend. So, on Friday, I was supposed to go into the city, but my plans kind of changed. I ended up going to Oakland because I'm on Facebook.
Right.
And I'm an obsessive Scrabble player. I play so much Scrabble on Facebook, it's not even funny. Well, months and months ago, I started playing with somebody that was good competition, because a lot of people are just too easy.
Yeah.
And I get bored, or people use the word finders.
And they cheat.
And then it's no fun, because I'm like, what the hell is that word? You don't even know what it means. Though, I started to get mad at a guy the other day, and I realized after I said the word out loud that I knew what the word was, too. It was just a really good word. I just was looking at all the letters all jumbled up, and I was like, what the fuck does that mean? And I realized it was Borzoi, which is a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's irrelevant. So I met this lady. We started playing, and we play like all the time, and her family, her mother lives in Oakland, so we decided to meet. So I met my Scrabble pen pal from Minnesota.
Did you play Scrabble in real life when you met her?
No, we just hung out, but she sounded like she was in Fargo. Her accent was so cute.
Did she make you any bars?
She, it was so funny. She talked like this the whole time.
That's how they talk.
But she was awesome. Her name is Kelly, so she listens to the podcast. So hi, Kelly.
She does. It's fun. Yeah.
And she was as awesome in person as she is on Scrabble, except she didn't swear or yell at me as much as she does when we play Scrabble.
Where does she live? The Twin Cities?
I forget. They kind of live out. Mm. But she was awesome. Her kids are amazingly adorable and sweet. I met her mother, and I learned her life story, and we hung out, and she was really cool.
Are they from Brainerd?
No, because I'd remember that. And then on Saturday, it was still Beer Week was finishing up.
Oh, that's right. Sure.
So we went to I'm going to say the name of the place wrong, Turnverein?
Yeah, I can't say it, but I know.
We went to Ben Vereen's house, and we had it was a Belgian brew event, and we got to taste for a door price. You got to try like 60 Belgian beers. It was super
fun. That's a lot of Belgian beer.
It is.
It was, and it's good. Apparently, I like Belgian beer because I'm not a big beer drinker. It was really good. And they had the lambics, which is like basically, oh my God. I don't know how to explain what that is, but they're delicious.
It's essentially a fruit flavored beer.
Oh, I had raspberry and cherry. They were amazing.
Yeah.
It's a masculine fruity ale.
It is, and it there's none of the sort of hoppiness or bitterness of beer. You just get that nice flavor. I've had they're a pricey beer, but they're very good.
You know, the funny thing is when Paul and I first started dating, he called it breakfast beer, and I just assumed that what it was. So then we mentioned that to the lady there, and she was like, oh, that's funny. You could have it with breakfast or put it with your waffles or pancakes. I was like, oh, I thought that's what it was for, and Paul just thought I was an idiot because I just assumed that's what it meant. This was beer that was made to have for breakfast.
You're so trusting.
And then on Sunday, I met with my friend Pam, and we went and saw The Artist and The Descendants. Both were really good.
Okay. Now, which one should have been Best Picture?
I didn't see every single movie that came out this year.
Of those two.
Which was better of those two?
Yes.
I think I liked overall The Artist better.
Yeah.
I thought they were both amazing. I thought the acting in both was amazing. And I'm not sure if in the big scope of every movie I've ever seen, if either of them were Oscar quality in my mind, but I thought they were both amazing. And I thought they had the added addition of beautiful scenery, beautiful music, and really good scripts and really good acting. I thought The Artist was amazing, and I get why people like it. I think it sort of called back to a simpler time, and things are really stressful right now, and money's tight, and it was a movie that slowed down, and everything's so fast, and it's a silent movie. It was a slower-paced movie, and I think people could really appreciate that. It was also dealing with the depression, which I think people could really relate to as well. And it was funny because I told my friend I felt really satisfied after because I had every emotion, which was sort of funny. Like, there were times in the movie where I was annoyed or I was bored or I was aggravated, as well as being like happy and sad and excited. And at the moments where I was feeling annoyed or aggravated, I felt those emotions. I was like, oh, this movie. But at the end, you felt like you had every single emotion. So it was like taking a bite of a perfect sandwich. It was really satisfying. And I couldn't wait to see what his, because they said he had one line in the movie, and I was just the line?
I was so fascinated.
And it was good.
I also think that any movie that is a hand job to the movie industry will generally do well on movie awards.
I heard Hugo was that as well, though. Yeah. I haven't seen
it. And Hugo, oh my God, if anyone gets Variety, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I've never seen a movie that advertised as much as Hugo did. It was insane. They bought like 4 covers at a time. Like, I'll bring them in so you can see them. But they're like, they were pushing so hard to get massive awards for it. But I think that if I heard one more person talk about how the movie industry right now is at a point where are they going to become irrelevant or are they not going to become irrelevant? Like, and are we romanticizing movies? And do you know what I saw this weekend?
What?
That was the exact opposite of both of those movies, but really enjoyable. I saw Project X.
Which, oh, did you?
Did you
okay,
really?
Well, okay, so I was in Vegas, and we went to go see it, and it was really funny. Like, I had a lot of fun. I actually was really happy I saw it in a theater. Like, I laughed. They were hysterical parts, and I don't know how to describe the movie, except it's like Blair Witch Project, although not scary, meets American Pie meets LMFAO. It was hysterical.
You know, when I saw the trailer for that, Mel, this was the only thought that came into my head. Jesus Christ, I feel old.
Uh-huh.
That was the only thought that came into my head.
I was like, I won't get it.
I don't
want to
say too much about the movie, but I guarantee you, I would bet a lot of money, very few people are going to want to have parties after that movie, because if I saw that movie, even now, like when I have some parties coming up, I'm like, fuck yeah, I have some ideas of what to do, because they take it to like that next level of like how you're going to like throw a crazy ass party, like what younger people do, like I'm going to throw a raisin ass party, takes it to like a kabillionth level of that. And it is.
It takes it to crazy town. And speaking of crazy town, Pat Robertson has a new theory for why tornadoes ripped through the Midwest last week.
Because gay men were fucking? Oh, wait, no. It's nope. Because we didn't pray hard enough.
Somebody was sinning.
Sorry, I get very angry when
to happen.
Yeah. Well, and this year, of course, the weather patterns, the warm winter and the warm...
How do people take this seriously? It gets me crazy.
I love his sidekick, too, because she's just sitting there feeding it to him.
Not so much why did God send them, but why didn't he intervene? You know, you think people always ask that question
tragedy?
Well,
if enough people were praying, he would intervene. You could pray. God, Jesus stilled the storm. You could still storms.
But no, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't.
You can still storm.
No, you
this
can't.
This is the
crazy,
same
crazy
man that blamed 9/11 on abortion and gay rights.
What's the number? I want to know how many people have to pray, because I want to try it. Let's get that many people that he says, because he's a fucking nut job, let's pray for him to explode into flames and see what happens. Because then there's always an excuse for this kind of stuff. You didn't pray hard enough. You didn't pray the right way. You didn't pray in the right place. You didn't wear the right outfit to pray. You are crazy.
And if God was doing this as an act of vengeance, he targeted places that really aren't fans of gay marriage. So I find that interesting. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well,
Pat Robertson.
That's not what Pat Robertson said. He said people just didn't play enough. Speaking of people who pray really hard.
Oh God. I think I know where we're going.
We're going to have a little growing pains now. Kirk Cameron went on Piers Morgan Tonight last week, and He's not a big fan of gay marriage, and the folks at
Glad, if I asked you, for example,
he's not even a fan of gay people.
Well, and
he's another religious cuckoo crazy.
So this is what I find interesting about Glad. The people in GLAAD are the angriest people I've ever heard of, because the only time you ever hear from them is when somebody says something like this. So it's a terrible name for the group. They need a different acronym, because
like
they never...
Pissed off lesbians and gays.
Yeah, find an acronym
Pog.
For that. Yeah, I like that better. Because
Fiery queers.
Because you never hear from... GLAAD never comes out and says, you know what? Had an awesome day. Everything was good. Rainbows and unicorns. I never get that press release from GLAAD.
Poff, pissed off fist fuckers. All I'm going to be doing for the next 2 days is thinking of very inappropriate nicknames for GLAAD.
I'm glad Poff. That you said that.
I can say it. You.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad that you said it. You may have to apologize to some fellow gays. So anyway, Kirk Cameron had some opinions on social issues.
Ask me.
What is your view of gay marriage?
I feel like I just got imported into the Christine O'Donnell interview you did back in August.
Well, that was an interview where she wouldn't talk about stuff in her own book.
I know.
I'm just saying, when these issues are interesting to me about what you would tell your kids, who you're trying to protect, for example.
Yes.
Would you tell them that gay marriage is a sin?
I would tell my children, as I tell them what I believe myself, and dealing with these social issues, whether it's abortion or gay marriage.
What do you believe?
I believe that
marriage
was defined by God a long time ago. Marriage is almost as old as dirt, and it was defined in the garden between Adam and Eve, one man, one woman, for life, till death do you part. So I would never attempt to try to redefine marriage, and I don't think anyone else should either. So do I support...
First of all, marriage not defined by God, it's defined by either the church or by local government.
It's unnatural. I think that it's detrimental and ultimately destructive to so many of the foundations of civilization.
So what do you do so much?
Like, how can you legitimately believe that? Like,
because they don't think about the big picture of what it means.
With them, just like you would with
this
your
is
kids.
What, this is what
I do. If one of my sons said that, I'd say, that's great, son. As long as you're happy. What would you say?
We'll get you a good
therapist.
I
wouldn't say that's great, son, as long as you're happy. I'm going to say, there's all sorts of issues that we need to wrestle through in our life. And just because you feel one way doesn't mean we should act on everything that we feel.
But I don't think giving your gay son the advice that you need to wrestle is going to cure him of it. I really don't. So that's Kirk Cameron,
it just makes me sad.
It's not an enlightened viewpoint, no, but it's not.
And it makes me feel bad for people that feel that have kids that, God forbid, they might be gay.
It makes me feel bad for the kids that are gay that know that that's what their parents will say.
Yeah,
I mean that's really the shame of the whole thing is that. If you've got kids and your kids are gay, then your job as a parent doesn't change. Your job as a parent is to nurture your children and give them the tools to succeed in the world. That's your job as a parent, to get your child capable of taking care of themselves in the outside world. If you want to really break it down to what we are, it's no different than a mother cat teaching its kittens how to fend for themselves in the world. It's just far more complicated when you're dealing with human beings. So to say that it's great that he didn't say, well, I'd just throw him out and tell him, well, not in my house. But the fact that you're like, well, there's some things to wrestle through, son. No.
Which means you have to be cured and fixed and do it my way.
Insulting.
Yeah.
And this coming from a man.
And if you don't, you will be kicked out. He's just not saying that.
If you say the name of his you're going to know.
This is coming from a dude who was on a show as a teenager whose sidekick's name was Boner.
Okay, he didn't write the show. He was just a teenage star on the show.
I was glad that Tracy Gold spoke up.
Yes.
I like
me
her.
Me too.
I do too.
The problem I have with this is that I feel like this is an issue that I literally don't have. I'm becoming increasingly, I try to understand things. There's issues that I might not agree with, but I can understand. Abortion, I get it. If someone feels that that's life, I get it. And I feel like it's a moot point. Like, you can't argue that. But like, every animal species has homosexuality. Gay people have been around since the beginning of humankind. Like, some of our greatest leaders have had lots of gay sex. I'm looking at you, Roman Empire.
Then they fell.
Well, society hasn't fallen. The problem I have with saying that like something is destructive is just so... it just makes me so angry because
it's dismissive.
I can't like I even struggle talking about it because it's so uninformed to me. And it what I really am so afraid of. And it, when things like this happen, it makes me feel better that we're getting to the point, although we're still really, really far from it, where like a kid doesn't have to feel that growing up. Like, and I just don't understand. I can't even talk. Like, I literally can't even talk about it. It makes me so upset.
It's incredibly dismissive, and that's where I come in. That it's dismissive of other people, and it's not right that you would be that dismissive of somebody else just because of their, and it's not even a preference. It's just the way you are. It'd be like being dismissive of someone because they have red hair or because they've got a big nose or because they have, you know, high arches.
Or you don't like their religion.
Yeah, but religion is a choice. You can choose not to be a certain religion. So I don't think that's an apt comparison. But it's the same thing as going, listen, Mel, I don't like you because your eyes are too close together. Well, there's that's just you. That's Mel. And there's nothing.
So these people believe that you're choosing to be gay, and you should unchoose it.
Which
it's unnatural.
I think any gay person just feels incredibly insulted for, because even though I'm very proud of who I am, why the fuck would I have ever have chosen this? And if you talk to any parent whose son is gay, guess what? It was not a surprise. Do you think when I was 5 years old, the way I was acting, it was a conscious choice? Like, seriously, like, it's so degrading to me as a person to say that, one, not only am I unnatural and I'm living something that's not real, but it's a conscious choice. And on top of that, I'm destructive. When we live in a society that values so many other things, to say how me and another dude choose to do things, is that offensive to you as a person? Just me being who I am.
Especially because the people that are doing the most talking about it are also the adulterers and the people that are seeing prostitutes and getting caught in hotels with drugs. And, you know, what's good for the goose is not so good for the gander.
Kirk Cameron just needs to go away. I wonder if Candace Cameron will say anything, his sister.
Candace Cameron Bure? She might.
She was really good on Full House, a show about men that lived in a house in San Francisco and never talked about gay things.
Well,
I just felt the need to say that.
They had dates with women. Speaking of heterosexual men, Rush Limbaugh was in the news again.
I'm getting angry. I'm usually not an angry person.
I know.
Angry
gay Larry.
I'm a puff, pissed off fist fucker. For the record, I'm not a fist fucker.
Thank you for clarifying. So Rush Limbaugh decided it would be a good
demonstrating.
It would be a good idea to. They had a scene like that in Chasing Amy. Mm-hmm.
I just demonstrated fisting again from what I've heard.
That was the fastest version though ever. That would hurt much.
I don't think you'd want to do it at that speed. So Rush Limbaugh decided that he would turn his ire toward a Georgetown law school student who was testifying in front of Congress.
Oh, you mean that whore?
Well, no, he didn't call her a whore, a slut, and a prostitute. because she was testifying saying that insurance companies should cover birth control pills for her fellow students because, and a lot of women take birth control pills not for the birth control aspect of them, but for other health reasons because it has to do with overall women's reproductive health and their lady business. Right. So,
Flow, if you will.
So, he said on his show that Flute, quote, wants to be paid to have sex. She's having so much sex she can't afford contraception. She wants you and me and the taxpayers to pay her to have sex, which just shows a complete lack of understanding of how birth control works. Because if you're on birth control, it's not like a pill for every time you need to do it. It's not Viagra. It's one pill and you're good for the day or the week, whichever pill you're on. And it's not, he didn't just do it one day. No. He did this for 3 days. 3 days on his show last week. And the chickens have come home to roost for Rush Limbaugh. Oh, and the most disturbing thing was, he said, if and I'm paraphrasing now, if she wants to get paid to have sex, she should take the video of it and put it on the internet so we can all see because we paid for it.
I'm going to vomit. Uh-huh.
Like, there comes a point where people who are just so dumb, you can kind of laugh off, but they start becoming so vindictive it's the only thing they can cling on to is shit like this.
It's scary because you wonder what else that could spread to. I mean, I was on birth control for years before I ever thought about having
porn
sex.
Prostitute.
I know, right?
I want to see you fuck people.
I was apparently a 14-year-old slut and prostitute. I didn't have sex for much, much longer after I was 14, but I mean, it was for other reasons. And I mean, give me a break.
So, anyway,
Rush Limbaugh. Who's from here, by the way? From Sacramento. Got to start here.
Well, you got to start in radio here. He's from Missouri, and they're actually building a bus to Rush Limbaugh is being inducted into some sort of Missouri
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Man, think how much materials it's going to take to make that giant head of his.
And I believe Dred Scott is going in with him this year. So,
oh no!
So that's quite a pair. And so that was the whole rub. And then people started to get upset about it. First, it was people on the left, you know, reasonable thinking people. Mm-hmm. And then you started to get more people, even on the right, who normally would just fall in behind Rush Limbaugh, columnists and things like that, saying, look, man, you stepped over the line. That's not right.
Is he also saying that, like, vasectomy shouldn't be covered?
No. Or the fact that Viagra's covered for guys to have hard wieners.
Just checking.
He was just talking about one specific thing, and he got her first name wrong, too. But that's not important right now. So everything goes through, and all of a sudden, a list of companies that advertise on Rush Limbaugh's program comes out, and people started contacting them and saying, hey, man, it's not good that you're advertising on a program that advocates this sort of thing, and we're not going to support you anymore. So much so that they started to pull their ads off of his show.
Good.
God bless America. Literally. It's so exciting to see.
Including Sleep Train, which is based here in Sacramento, and he has been a spokesman for them since the 80s. So going back to the time when he was in radio in Sacramento, and they were one of the first ones to pull their advertising. So that took a lot of courage on their part to step up and go, hey, we've had a 25 or so year relationship with this guy, but this is just intolerable.
We supported you through your drug addiction, but we've had enough.
Yeah. And a company that does really great things for foster care. I really like what they do, but also a company, and this isn't a bad thing in my opinion, but they tend to be more on the conservative side of politics.
Sure.
And you have a company that really recognizes that what someone did is so offensive to so many people. Like this in some ways, just what I find it funny is for someone that preaches about the free market and how important it is, hey bitch, you're suffering your own consequences because you spewed out shit that was just offensive. And when the majority of American women, what is it, like 97% of American women at some point in their life go on birth control, to say that if you're on birth control you're a whore, I love seeing the tweets that women started doing. And one got a lot of attention is from I believe she was a Marine officer. She's a mother of two, and she was like, I'm a mother of two, I'm on birth control, and I could saying how dare you say it. Was I'm not speaking very eloquently,
well, and they say, like,
great.
You know, percentage wise the highest earning women, the most educated women, the most intellectually achieving women are on birth control because their priorities are somewhere else. Mm-hmm. We're not looking to breed. We're looking to have careers and make our world a better place.
And have so meaningless, dumb. Empty sex.
And have meaningless,
strangers.
Empty sex.
And even if you do, who the fuck cares? Because if we're going to start letting policy, letting moral decisions impact and personal choice decisions impact healthcare, we're down a really slippery slope coming from a man that probably weighed at one point 350 pounds. So why should we have to pay your healthcare because you chose to overindulge on potatoes? False. What, you know, like you can never combine the two. It is such a dangerous slope.
Why are you blaming potatoes? You just all of a sudden decided to blame potatoes.
Yes. They're really high in carbohydrates. The potato board is going to boycott us now.
No, they're not. They're going to boycott you.
Fans of potatoes are going to call us and say, we're going to not spot.
It's Oreo's birthday today. Let's blame it on his
happy
Oreos.
Happy 100-year Oreos. Yeah.
Don't blame it.
That's offensive.
Yeah, don't get on there.
I love Oreos.
I love Oreos.
So anyway, over the weekend, Rush issued kind of a little apology saying he chose the wrong words. But he issued that on his website, which is the same as not doing it. Not good enough. He started losing more advertisers. On Monday, he came out on his show and apologized, saying essentially that he chose his words poorly and blah, 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 blah. And then this is what I love about
I meant to call her a cunt, not a whore.
So he came out and said that using financial terrorism like this is a longstanding tool of the left. And this is where he pissed me off. You know, he call her a slut all you want. This is where he pissed me off, because you disingenuous, round-headed motherfucker. The the place where this financial pressure started is every goddamn group in the country with the words family or mothers or children in the title, calling and complaining about content of TV programs destroying their children and families, and threatening to boycott advertisers and doing it in, you know, at local TV station levels. There are towns in the South that couldn't air TV shows because a group of 50 mothers showed up talking about how a show was going to destroy their family. Well, don't watch it, you stupid bitches. There, I can do it too. Mm-hmm. But I'm not talking about one in particular. I'm talking about a group of stupid bitches. But don't turn around and go just because now you're in the crosshairs.
Yeah, now it's happening to you.
Yeah, you're in the crosshairs. Well, it was great when it was going the other way, but now it's not. So what started with a couple of companies, we're now up to, as of the recording of this show on Tuesday night, 27 companies have pulled their ass.
USA! USA!
And you know what I think is hilarious? Another guy that I don't like, but they came out to yell at him, was Don Imus.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is sort of hilarious because, I mean, like, of all people, like, Don Imus is not, in my opinion, any better. And he has said some horrible shit, but the fact that even he's condemning him is kind of funny.
I know. You know you fucked up when Don Imus is like, you're a douchebag.
Oh, yeah, well.
Because Don Imus is like, right. I'm a douchebag, but at least I owned it.
Financial terrorism, like, really interesting, because I remember when the Dixie Chicks said they weren't proud of their president. I believe you helped lead CD burnings of their music.
Right. Yeah, but it's a tool of the left. It's a tool of the left.
Fucking douchebags.
Speaking of...
Like, how are people... Like, what I don't understand, and I think this is true about any hardcore conservative, is that when you look around, and even, like, some of the latest polling numbers, gay marriage actually has sort of been an unbelievable... How fast acceptance it's gone from. It's catastrophic. And when you look at other issues, how the fuck do they think they're going to hold on? Because what's happened previously is not happening. Where, like, you're young and idealistic and then you convert. Like, there's people who are now getting into their 40s who are even increasing their views about many societal issues. I feel like some very hardcore conservatives are doing the best they can to become completely irrelevant in our nation's conversation. Because people are growing up with the fact that people are in birth control. People are gay, or that there's just a lots of different people. And all they're doing, they're going to become a very small pocket of hate people.
Gay people on birth control. Gay people on birth control.
Yeah, hell, they should be happy. Gay men don't need birth control. And believe me, I will try very hard to make someone pregnant, but I can't. So, well, boy.
Bisexual ladies on birth control. Bisexual ladies on birth control. Here's the I Man.
Wild personal attack of this woman.
Right.
And it was sustained. It was what, Wednesday? Then they come back and double down on Thursday. They come back and double down on Friday. And then... issue a lame apology on your website in which you say, I didn't mean to personally attack her, when you did attack her. So were it me, and I ran a radio station or whatever, I'd make him go down there and apologize to her face to face. Get on the heels
of
Gulfstream 4, get on it, go to Washington.
This is Don Imus, by the way.
I'm sorry I said this stuff, and I'll never do it again, period. No, he's an insincere pig, pill popping.
That's something that he's calling you.
No, really. I mean, it's disgraceful. You got to show some guts. So he has no guts. You can't say stuff. And I look what I did. And what I did was a lame attempt to be funny. And it was three words. And I went and met with these people after I'd been fired.
What does he mean, these people?
I was just about to say
and
that.
And I was like, uh-oh. Did you see who actually got in some trouble? And I actually like her, and I think it was a little overrated. Patricia Heaton, if you would know her, she is on the hysterical show right now, The Middle. If you're not watching it, you should, because it's amazing.
I like how you said her first name, by the way.
I'm boycotting
Patricia
her.
Except you said Patricia.
Patricia Hilton. No, I can't say it. She started a tweet. She is one of she's a very active Twitterer. She started a thing that's like, she posted a joke like, hey, G-Town girl, how about we also buy your KFC wings? Like, as a joke, like your movie tickets and something else so you can have fun. People got really offended, and she issued a genuine apology. It's like, sorry, just trying to be funny. Because Patricia Heaton, many people don't know this, is she's in a group called Pro-Life Feminists, because she thinks abortion's very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I can respectfully understand how people have that because it's their own personal belief. But I just, what the fuck is going on? Like, sometimes I seriously am amazed. Like, the fact that Santorum, what, I can't even say his name.
Rick Santorum.
Rick Santorum might actually win the state of Ohio. Like, I like to believe I'm actually in touch with some of our country. And when things like that happen, I'm like, how the fuck do people think that that's, like, I just don't understand what's happening.
All right. Well, we have to move the show along. We're flying through here. Sorry, it's time.
Are we being very chatty today?
Oh, we're going super long. We're not going to let the show run super long.
But, oh, good. I was scared.
But we're going very long.
Oh, but we have so much good stuff. I know. Can we just, everybody talk fast?
Okay.
No, we're not going to get to it all.
We're only going
to
talk in haiku form.
Well, it's time for our original segment on the show. It goes back to, I believe, show number 4. It's the segment called...
Cool.
Hey. Whoa. Sponsored by the Lady Business Improv Show on St. Patrick's Day. At 8 p.m. at the Sacramento Comedy Spot.
Go so get your green beer on and come see us.
SacComedySpot.com to get your tickets. $8 to see the ladies with their business. $12 to see the Lady Business Show and the Anti-Cooperation
and we're,
Show.
And we're designing t-shirts. I can't wait till they come out and it says, I heart my lady business.
Aww.
Isn't that cute?
It is. So, first off, in Cooler Tool, the lady that sits next to Pat Robertson and feeds him all of your bullshit lines. I'm calling an audible on this one. Sorry. Cooler Tool to that crazy lady.
I will have to acknowledge. I think her last name is very fun because it's like Van Sutten. It's some weird northern
sounds
Nazi-ish name.
Yeah.
I am going to say Tool because the 700 Club. First of all, is not a news. For those of you that don't know, 700 Club is on TV because it's a paper. It's an infomercial. They pay for their airtime.
It's an infomercial.
And
for
it
Jesus.
Literally is like it is. And so definitely Tool.
Mel, what do you think?
Tool, because she's a puppet. She's probably not even thinking. She's just sitting with her bad hair. And
I wonder if she's ever been on birth control, that fucking whore.
I think she predates birth control. You know what? I'm gonna flip the script on y'all. I'm gonna go cool because because I don't know how she can sit there and not just completely lose her mind listening to Pat Robertson. Because
she
talk
believes
every day.
It.
No, I don't know. I think she's
on board.
I don't think she is.
She is drinking the Kool-Aid.
I think she's banging a check every week and going, all right, crazy man, you keep paying me. I'll keep smiling and feeding you lines.
God, I'd love to believe that people cannot do that.
Well, you know, that's kind of what people are. That's Rush Limbaugh's defense, that it's being absurd to illustrate things. And that it's an act. And some people will say it's an act. That's not really Rush Limbaugh. And you know what? To me, that's worse. Because he portrays himself, Stephen Colbert does it with a wink and a nod. Rush Limbaugh portrays himself as the voice of reason and sanity. And the worst part of it is the Republican Party has taken that and made it so. And that's the other part of the problem. So this one will be quick. Rush Limbaugh, Cool or Tool? I'm going to go Tool. Mel?
Tool.
Larry?
Tool.
All right.
We should have done it in unison. That would have been like barbershop quartet. Tool, tool, tool.
Tool. And finally, in Cooler Tool, Piers Morgan for having Kirk Cameron on his show to begin with. Larry, we'll start with
I'm
you.
I'm going to say Tool because he exposed the hatred of a man that's really, because he's really the main face behind Left Behind, which is a multi-billion dollar Christian movie book industry. So I'm going to say Cool to Piers Morgan.
Oh, you said Tool at first.
Yeah.
Oh, I meant Cool. Oh. I'm so stuck on
you
freaking what's his name.
You confused me. I was like, really?
No, Piers Morgan, Cool.
Yeah, I agree. I really like Piers Morgan. And while I hate Kirk Cameron, I appreciate the fact that he's bringing everybody on. And he also put him on the spot. And I appreciate that. He wanted him to look like a fool.
Exactly.
And he made him look like a fool. And good for him.
Hatred.
I'm going to go Cool as well. And not only because he is open to having somebody who might have a different viewpoint than him on, which I applaud. It's not going to happen on our show. But I applaud that. No, I'm just kidding. I like the fact that he came out today after all the backlash and said, you know what? I kind of, sort of, almost admire Kirk Cameron for sticking to his viewpoint. I may not agree with what you say, but I will fight for your right to say it. So I think that's kind of the way a sort of free press should go, which is odd because Piers Morgan made his money working in yellow journalism with the News of the World.
That's racist. You can't say yellow journalism.
I can say yellow journalism.
As long as you don't mention Jeremy Lin.
Don't even go there.
I have insanity.
So Craig Ferguson, host of The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, speaking of Twitter, tweeted this, and I wanted to share it because it amused me. Rush makes me feel ashamed to be middle-aged white man, and Kirk Cameron makes me ashamed to be a failed actor.
Aww.
We don't all think like that. No hate. So that was That was his. Let's see. We've got a lot of stuff that we're just not going to get to.
As much as I hate, I wouldn't want this kid to go through it. I sometimes hope that like someone like Kirk Cameron, his kid is gay. I really don't, because I think that's unfortunate for that kid and it would be awful. But like, the hate you spewed comes back.
I hope you're gay, kid.
I hope your son's a leather fist fucker.
I don't know that.
Bam, bam, bam.
Do you think that phrase has ever been uttered? Ever?
I'm gonna tweet it to him right now.
Aww.
And then you have to have that scene from Heather's where he's like, "I love my dead gay son.
I love my gay dad.
I love
son.
My dead gay son." Oh, that movie.
So I want to share one more thing before we get to small town news.
Oh, we're not doing the job guy. That's my favorite thing of ever. I laughed so hard I cried. I almost peed a little.
All right, then we'll go back. We'll do that. We'll save this one for the next time. This is from.
I'm sorry. This is the funniest thing of ever that you've ever sent me of ever.
Okay.
Of ever?
Of ever.
Of ever.
I literally watched it and had to stop because I was laughing so hard I couldn't listen anymore.
This is from right here in good old Sacramento, in the North Highlands area. Shocking. A man showed up for a job interview. It wasn't really a job interview per se. He showed up naked and high on methamphetamine.
Awesome. Watch the video.
Well, here's the audio is good enough. So we'll go through this. We have to let this ad go by.
The fact, too, that it was sort of presented as the guy's going for a job interview. I'm like, and cause so in my head, I'm thinking, oh, he had an appointment and that's how he showed up.
No.
That's amazing. The poor guy hiring him.
All right. Some new video surfacing tonight showing German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Oh, yeah. And they didn't really clip this very well either. Thanks for clipping
out
of old, Fox 40.
That's old. The beer getting spilled
on
her.
Yeah. It was from last week.
Yeah.
It was from last week. But she was cool about it. If she would be cool and cooler too. If you get five beers dumped on you and you're like, whatever, and move on with your day, I think that makes you.
What
pretty
do you
cool.
think happened to the waiter? Do you think he got fired?
I think
it
he
wasn't
was
really
killed.
His fault.
New job, and he probably shouldn't be taking any advice from this guy. He was arrested over this past weekend after showing up for a job interview wearing nothing but a smile, and I mean nothing. Kimberly Rankin has the video to prove it. Take a look.
Where are your clothes?
They say when you show up and try to get a job, it's important to make an impression. Well, Joseph Ayala made an impression, just not a good one.
And my brother speaks a little Spanish. He's like, the guy's saying he's good with his hands. He's looking for work. Like, tell him he needs pantalones to get a job.
Chris Johnson just about a
good advice. You need
right
pantalones
now,
to get a job.
All he could do was call 911 and, well, record the situation, of course. Police say high on meth, Ayala decided to put up his dukes and fight. But holding on to a naked man is like trying to grasp a fish.
I've done it. It's tricky. I arrested a naked guy. It was not easy. They're slippery.
I know a thing or two about naked men. Was,
well, entertaining. And this is why I had short hair as a police officer, by the way.
And everyone jumped in.
Yeah, they were fine with letting the cops take care of it until the guy high on meth grabbed the lady police officer's hair.
And they tied Ayala up and took him straight to jail. But as you can imagine,
well, it was hard. She was trying to fight one-handed because she had her taser in the other hand, so she finally chucked it off out of the way.
She should have just tased him.
She couldn't. She was too close. They couldn't safely do it.
Oh, I still would have tased him. Although he's,
well, she would have tased the other cop, potentially.
Still. I mean, high on meth, he's probably not going to feel it anyway.
I think it's great he's showing so much enthusiasm for his new position.
Right?
Here's the dark side of the whole thing. He's an illegal alien. I know that's shocking. And
in California? What? I don't understand what you're saying.
A meth user in California.
A meth user?
That is weird.
And the police are suggesting that anybody who had contact with him get an HIV test because he's believed to be HIV positive. So
that's the kicker.
Now, what's weird is I do work generally sometimes in that area, and I have started dating this undocumented meth user because, you know, I'm a sucker for enthusiasm.
He's good with his hands.
Oh, now I would hope if he is tried in court, whoever the defense attorney, please try saying the argument. He was so overcome with stress of him being undocumented that he had to turn to meth.
That's like I arrested a DUI guy, and the guy said that he didn't understand my commands in English. That's why he didn't stop his vehicle. And then I didn't smell alcohol in his breath. I smelled kimchi.
Oh, yes. Oh, you arrested a Korean
That's
guy?
That's racist.
Was he? He said it. I didn't say it.
No, no. Was he Korean?
He was.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains the kimchi.
And one of the things in court the judge said was, you know, why are you here in town? He said, oh, I'm a student. And he goes, what are you studying? He goes, I'm studying engineering. He goes, do you take your tests in English? And he's like, yes. He goes, then I'm assuming you know good enough English to know.
Yeah.
Pull over and get on the ground.
if you're gonna go ahead and do that, yeah, that's probably true. Mm. Ooh, I hear the train. It doesn't come through on the microphone, but the train is a passing by.
I bet there's some good meth addicts hanging out on the train.
It's a soothing sound, the train whistle.
So it's time. We've reached virtually the end of the show.
Wow.
We went an hour here. That's why.
That flew.
It did. Well, Larry.
But it's good because I got to pee really bad.
Larry was fired up. It's time for.
It's easy when people are fucking crazy.
I know what time it is.
What time is it, Mel?
Time for Small Town News. Small Town News. Everybody loves the Small Town News.
And it's brought to you by our Amazon partnership. Go to natedarlingshow.com and click the Shop with Amazon banner. Yeah, say it. Do it. Do
he
it.
He said come.
Buy your butt plugs. Buy your lube. I don't care what you buy. Just buy it at Amazon through natedarlingshow.com.
Now, did you hear in Obamacare that everyone will get 5 free butt plugs a year?
Ooh, that's good. Do you wear them out that quickly? I don't know. How quickly do you wear out a butt plug, Larry?
I can honestly say I have never owned or I don't want to say use. Well, I'm not familiar with butt plugs. I've never owned one. I've never seen. Mm-hmm. I've
you
seen
know,
one,
you're the
false.
Most disappointing gay guy in so many ways. You don't do anything fun.
Well, I do fun things.
We're going to need a lot more information.
I'll show you some video.
Every time we talk about anything good that apparently gay people do, you don't do it. You don't fist. You don't use
butt plugs.
What
do you mean gay people?
What do you do?
What do you think gay people get around at a party like, hey, who's got a good butt plug? Let's try one out.
What is it you do?
What? I don't understand the concept of a butt plug. What do I do? Well, here I have a little story for you. Our softball team has started, and the Sacramento Softball Gay League is exploding, by the way. I think there's going to be like 22 teams.
Hey, now.
Because all the gays are playing softball.
Exploding gays.
I'm a pitcher.
They're exploding all over.
I'm a pitcher.
Not a catcher.
Everyone's both. Everyone's a liar.
Okay.
But like,
Is that the end of your story?
I bet a majority of gay men have never used butt plugs.
Well, that's an interesting poll.
If you're Eric...
Hey,
you're
now.
A Portland gay. Can you please email us and let us know if you are familiar with butt plugs or do an informal survey of your friends and say, excuse me, homosexual, do you currently or have you ever used a butt plug?
Excuse me, homosexual.
I want to start a gay sex survey like that and call people up.
Well, again, that's something you could do, but I don't think I would get away with that.
Straight people really don't have, like...
Seriously, yeah, I think if I were to go down to the gay district in Sacramento and start saying, excuse me, homosexual, I have some questions for you.
Who does use butt plugs?
There might be some gay bashing going on, but it would be in reverse.
I can tell you who use butt plugs.
Who?
Tell us.
Closeted straight men.
What?
Because, okay, here's the thing. If you're a gay man, something that gay men generally don't have any too much problem with is finding other dudes to do it with. It's like also the people getting arrested at parks for having sex are generally straight dudes, married dudes, because as awkwardly we talked about this with my family once, because my sister was very fascinated by this, so her friend and her friends went to go do a sting investigation to see who was hanging out at the park, and I was like, I don't understand, and I said, well, here's the thing, and it was awkward because, hi, I'm gay. I was like, if you want to have sex with somebody, you could just bring them back to your house or apartment. You can't do that, though, if you have a wife. So generally, it's those people. Butt plugs are used by very closeted people because it's easy to use.
Right. You're fucking crazy.
If any gays are listening to me, I don't claim to represent all of the gays. I will ask at my next softball league game.
At the next meeting?
At the next homosexual mixer.
Excuse me, homosexuals!
Ask at the next mixer.
Attention, gays! All right.
Should.
Can we have a show of hands for butt plug users in the room?
I'm pretty sure.
Can we get a show of fists?
Small town news took a horrible twist. Anyway, hey, this is big news in Lindenville. They swore in a new policeman.
Yay.
Wow.
Just one?
Just one. The town's newest police officer, Brandon Thrillkill, was officially sworn in on Wednesday
His
evening.
His name is Thrillkill?
Thrillkill.
That seems like a bad idea.
It's Thrillkill. Thrailkill.
Sounds like Thrillkill.
Well, that's what it's going to be for the kids goofing off in town. He was sworn in during a Wednesday evening ceremony attended by community officials, family, and friends, and overseen by Lindenville Police Chief Jack Harris. He has lived in the community since the age of one when his family moved there from...
Ohio!
That's right. He moved from Ohio. He said he has dreamed of becoming a police officer. His fiancée, Julia, the couple's four-year-old son, Julian, his sister, Eric, and his mom and dad, Sandy and Jamie, were all in attendance.
Okay, nobody came when I got sworn in. I just did it really quick.
Well, maybe
it's a big deal, apparently, in Lindenville. I'm just already picturing the teenager or the person that's like, give me your wallet. Why? Are you just going to shoot me just for the fun of it, Officer Thrill Kill?
Well, he didn't just get to become a police officer. He was chosen from a pool of 25 applicants.
You know what the interesting thing is?
He got
sworn in as a police officer, but he hasn't had any training yet.
He hasn't gone through the academy?
No. Not yet. We'll get to that.
So that doesn't really fucking count.
Do they really have crime there? Let's be honest.
Yeah, there is, actually.
Someone stole a maple syrup.
There's actually quite a drug problem if you look past the small
Where
town
isn't news. There are drug problems in our country?
I don't know. Well, Rush Limbaugh's? No, there is one at Rush Limbaugh's house.
I'm going to take a survey of the homosexuals and ask them if they know where can you not get drugs? Attention, homosexuals!
So anyway, he's a longtime member of the Lindenville community. He volunteers his time helping with children's athletic teams in town. He replaces former police officer James Heemond, who departed at the end of last year to take a job with the Caledonia County Sheriff's Department. Moving on up. Chief Harris teased Thrill Kill about being so serious, saying the town clerk asked if he ever smiles. Thrill Kill replied with an ear-to-ear grin as people laughed, including the town clerk.
Ooh.
That's right. The chief said the process was, and I quote, a whirlwind. From interviews testing at the academy to the final selection. Now this week, Thrill Kill will begin ride-alongs. Next week, he begins the part-time academy. He is earning a cool $14.50 an hour.
Oh, shit.
So there you are.
I think I started more than that, and it was a million years ago.
How much is it you said he made?
$14.50 an hour. That's his starting wage. And to be fair, he has not gone through the academy yet. He will probably be making more once he does. So
that is so weird that they swear him in before. What if he doesn't graduate? Then they
look. They've got faith.
That's crazy.
He has experience as an amateur boxer.
Holy shit! Granted, I think things are probably more affordable there. But
yes, they are.
I think it's a national crime when a small compact sedan is worth more than what we would pay a police officer for a year. There's something wrong with that.
Even in small town news?
Even more so.
Well, I wish Officer Thrill Kill all the best.
Is he hot?
No.
Does he have butt plugs?
I have no idea. Maybe he does. It is
butt plugs. Do you
it
know most
closet.
In some states, if you ever notice on sex toys, a lawyer told me this who actually works for a naughty company, that there's so many weird shipping laws that they can never reference like sex toy on it. They always have to say use as a novelty device. Because some states have like anything that goes into designed to go into an orifice has to pass medical clearance.
Well, I suppose if you haven't used it before, a butt plug would be a novelty item. Just guessing. I don't know.
Speaking of, I think the leather dungeon here in town is going to have their used toy sale if anyone wants to go buy.
Wow. Used toy sale. Previously gently used. Gently used toys.
That is used stuff I don't want to reuse. That's not reusable. That is not new to you.
You are not very green when it comes to that. You don't live the green lifestyle, Mal. Very disappointed in
not
you.
Not when it comes to butt plugs. There's not enough bleach in the world.
Would you use a used butt plug for $100?
No.
If it was clean? $1 million.
As a paperweight?
$1 million.
I know what I'm getting for our next Christmas gift exchange.
Do I get to clean it myself?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, we'll talk.
All right, thank you everybody for joining us. And check out the new NateDarlingShow.com. If you're buying something on Amazon, click through us. We get a little bit of scratch from it. It's awesome. Keep an eye on the website because I'll be updating you on iTunes and all that jazz there.
Jazz.
All that jazz. If you're currently an iTunes subscriber, keep going on what you're going until we tell you otherwise. Just hit refresh and you'll get the show just like you did this week. That's it for this week, Mel.
Adios.
Larry.
Adios, bitches.
Yeah, be a little bit more positive, Larry. A little too angry this week.
It's hard to be happy when you have idiots. Oh, look, a unicorn. I'm happy again.
Yeah, that was what I felt like on the boat to Alcatraz. Idiots.
Ow!